To ask you to please turn to the book of Numbers. I would like to read from Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. I encourage you to please get a Bible and look at God's Word this morning. Numbers chapter 22. I want to read just a few verses from this chapter, and then we'll be going forward to chapter 24, reading a few verses there. Numbers chapter 22. The Word of God here is talking about two main people. One is Balak. Balak is the king of the Moabites. We're going to be talking about Balak, and then about another man whose name was Balaam. Sometimes it's hard to keep those two separate, but Balak was the king of the Moabites, and then Balaam, and some disagree with this, but I believe he was a man of God. And Balaam could pronounce, or he could bless people that he knew God was going to bless. He could bless them and declare that they were going to have great victory in their lives. And then he could curse them, and they were going to have great trouble in their lives. So the king of Balak, if you were about to go into battle and you knew there was a man that you could call on to really bring about a victory in that battle, I think all of us would have done what Balak did, and that is they'd call for Balaam to come curse the other army. Please look now at Numbers chapter 22, beginning with the first verse. The Word of God says, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho." Come down to verse 4. "And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time." I want you to remember, and I want you to feel some of the fear that Balak had in knowing that the army of Israel was going to defeat them and was going to destroy them. And he was very afraid, and the Moabites were afraid. Verse 5 says, "He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt." Who is that people that came out of Egypt? That's the children of Israel, the Israelites. "Behold, they cover the face of the earth and abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." Now God is going to tell Balaam he cannot go. He cannot go and curse Israel, because Israel was God's chosen people and God was going to bless Israel. So God's going to tell Balaam, you cannot go and curse Israel. And he does that. I want you to come down and just notice verse 12. Notice verse 12. "And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them." Now that's after these princes have come from Balak, and they've offered Balaam a tremendous amount of money if he'll go curse the children of Israel. And so, what do you think Balaam says he better do? He says, "Well, I need to pray about this." And so he prayed about it, and here's what God said in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." That is, the children of Israel are a blessed people. I'm going to give them the victory, and you better not try to curse them. And come down to verse 15. "And Balak," that's the king of the Moabites, "Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, Thus saith Balak, the king of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, what is Balaam clearly saying in verse 18? I don't care how much you offer me. I don't care how much gold and silver. I don't care what position you're offering me. I cannot go beyond what the word of my Lord says. But I want you to notice the next verse. He says, now, do you think the devil's beginning to tempt him pretty heavily here? Next verse says, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Now God's already told him, hasn't he? Don't you think sometimes God tells us something and God gives us very clear direction and instruction in our life? Sometimes God even tells us things very clearly in His Word, but we're trying to pray about whether or not we ought to do what God's already said to do. Balaam got in a lot of trouble. I'm not going to go into all of that, but Balaam kept trying to pray to God and kept trying to ask for permission to go. I want you to come to Numbers. I encourage you to go home and read all about Balaam and Balak. But I want to come to Numbers chapter 24 now. Please turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 24. I want you to listen to Numbers chapter 24 beginning in verse 10. Numbers chapter 24. We still have this communication going on between Balak and Balaam. Numbers 24 beginning in verse 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I want you to listen carefully to what it says in verse 11. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not unto thee thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Now those are important words, aren't they? What Balaam is saying is, I will not add to the Word of God, and I will not take away from the Word of God. When God says He's going to do something, I'm going to tell you exactly what God says. And when God says He's not going to do something, I'm going to tell you exactly that. And when God tells His people that we're to do something or not to do something, we'd better not try to alter what God says. But I want you to come back just a moment to verse 11. And look again at verse 11. Here's what Balak says to Balaam. He says, therefore now flee thee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Now, I want us to think about those words. Those are the main words on my heart this morning. Balak says to Balaam, I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Did the Lord keep him back? And don't answer out loud because you might answer wrong. I know there are different ways that you might look at this. Did the Lord, and we're going to look at it and we're going to answer the question later, but did the Lord keep Balaam from getting the honor that Balak offered to him? You don't answer that, just think about it. I believe that there is a principle right here that is probably one of the most important principles in all of God's Word. And that is that the devil will do just like Balak did. The devil will come to you, and he comes to you and me all the time, saying, I'll give you something if you'll disobey God. That's the greatest instrument. That's the number one temptation that the devil has, is he offers us something if we will just disobey God. And that's what's happening right here. But it's what has happened in all ages of the world, and it's what's happening today. And without realizing it, sometimes we compromise with the devil. And sometimes we'll do like Balaam did, and we'll say, well, you know, maybe I need to pray about this matter some more. And we're praying about something God has already clearly answered. Now, Balaam kept praying, and he kept trying to get God to go in a different direction, because Balaam wanted all that honor. He wanted the prestige. He wanted the glory. He wanted the riches that would come from Balak if he would just curse the children of Israel. Has the devil said to you, I'll promote you? Did you know there are some people that give up a job when they're serving the Lord and take another job that interferes with their service to God? You know why? They got a what? What's the word right here that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 24, verse 11? I thought to, what's the next word? I thought to promote thee. I'm going to give you more money if you'll just do what I'm telling you to do. It doesn't matter if it's against what God's Word says. It doesn't matter if it contradicts God's Word. I'm going to give you more money. I'm going to promote you if you'll just do what I'm telling you to do. Now, that's true even to teenagers. Does the devil work with teenagers? And does a boy sometimes say to a teenager, well, I was going to take you to the prom if you would have just done what I just asked you to do. And what does a girl sometimes then do? Oh, well, maybe I ought to pray about this. Maybe I ought to compromise. Maybe I ought to do something that I know is wrong, because I sure want to go to the prom. Or the boy says, you know, I was going to ask you to go steady with. Do they still use those terms today? Go steady with, or whatever term they use. That's what they used when I was in school. Well, I was going to ask you to go steady with me. But now, if you're not going to do what I'm asking you to do, then I'm just going to find somebody else to go with. And sometimes teenagers will compromise on what they know is right, because they want to be accepted by people, and they're more concerned about being recognized by the world and honored by the world and getting something from the world than they are with getting something from the Lord. Does the Lord withhold some things from us? See, that's what he's saying here. That's what the devil's saying. If you don't do what I'm telling you to do, the Lord, who's he blaming right here for the man not being able to have the riches and honor and prestige? Well, the Lord is just going to not let you have. The Lord doesn't want you happy. The Lord doesn't want you to have the good things I'm offering to you. Well, brethren, we need to understand that the Lord does keep back some things from us. But anything that God withholds from us, it's for our good. Here's a statement in the book of Psalms, Psalms 84, verse 11. I want you to remember this. Psalm 84, 11 says that God will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. Listen again to that now. That's something I need to just have emblazoned on my mind, that even though God does withhold a lot of things, and God doesn't let me have everything I want, and God doesn't let you have everything you want, and there are a lot of things I want that'll be for my destruction and for my ruin, and the offer says, now I'll give you this if you'll just go against what you know is right. And sometimes we go against what we know is right because we want whatever it is the devil's offering. And that's a serious problem that we all... There's not a person in this building that doesn't have a problem with this. Doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are, the devil's always trying to get you to do something, and he's always offering you something very good. And you know what else he's also always telling you? The Lord just doesn't want you to have this. The Lord's the one withholding this from you. So you kind of get mad at God. Have you ever seen anybody get mad at God? Have you ever gotten mad at God? Most of you have. And most of you, when you've gotten mad at God, it's because God withheld something from you, just like this situation right here. I think Balak, to some degree, Balak kept getting mad at God because he wanted it so desperately. He wanted the prestige. He wanted the honor. He wanted the riches. And the Lord just kept saying, no, you cannot go. You cannot curse those people. They're my chosen people. I'm going to bless them. And if you curse them, I'm going to curse you. But we're just so hungry for something out there that the devil's offering us. And then the devil will say, I'll give it to you. But the Lord's not wanting you to have fun. What device did the devil use? You know, the Bible says we ought not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Isn't this a common device he uses all the time? Back there in the Garden of Eden, what are the two most vivid... I want you to just tell me, what are the two most serious temptations that ever took place in all this world? There are two temptations that stand out that are recorded in God's Word. There are two temptations that stand out far above any other temptations in the Bible. What's the first temptation that caused the most serious consequence? Okay, there's three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. But what was the first time that Satan tempted in the Garden of Eden? All right, and why do I say that's one of the most serious temptations that ever took place? Because in that temptation and the yielding to that temptation, there was the fall of all mankind. Now, I want you to remember that. By the way, what do you think is the second most serious temptation that ever took place in all the time world? Say it again. Thank you. You've read this sermon already, I guess. All right. This isn't written anywhere, but you might not agree with me, but I think the two most serious temptations, the first one is in the Garden of Eden. The second one was when the devil came to Jesus and started tempting Jesus Christ. And I want you to look at both these temptations that I think are the two most serious temptations, and it's multiplied manifold more times in the Word of God, but I want you to see that in those two temptations that the devil was saying in different words, but he was saying the same thing that Balak was saying to Balaam. And that is, I want to promote you to some great honor, but the Lord has held it back from you. Now, isn't that what the devil used in the Garden of Eden with Eve? Isn't that what the devil, after the Lord had said, you can eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not eat thereof. Was that one thing the Lord held back from them? And so what did the devil say? Oh, God knows that in the day you eat thereof, you'll become wise and become like gods. What was he saying? God doesn't want you to become as great as he is. God doesn't want you to become like God. And he was using the exact same temptation that Balak used with Balaam, saying, I thought to promote thee to some great honor, but the Lord won't let you have it. Have you ever gotten mad at the Lord because the Lord wouldn't let you have some great honor? Have you ever gotten mad at the Lord because the Lord wouldn't help you to make some money sometimes? Have you ever gotten mad at the Lord because you were losing money sometimes? Have you ever gotten mad at the Lord because you lost everything you had sometimes financially? Have you ever gotten... Well, listen, there's a reason the Lord withholds those things from us. Did you know that? What does Psalm 84:11? I want to keep reminding you of that, Psalm 84:11. Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Can money be a bad thing in my life? Is it sometimes good for me to be poor? Are there times it's good for me to be poor? Can money be an albatross around my neck? Can money and prestige and glory and honor and all these things the devil's offering me, can they lead to my destruction instead of being for my good? Can they? Now, money is not evil, but there is something that is evil that's closely connected with it. The Word of God does not say that money is evil. But the Bible does say that the love of money is the root of all evil. And brethren, that's what was pulling and nagging in Balaam's heart and mind, he wanted those riches, he wanted that honor, he wanted that glory, he wanted to be promoted. And that's the reason he kept, even though God had already told him, he kept running back to God saying, God, can I please go? Let me go. Let me do it just one time. God will bring his judgments on his people when they don't do what his word says. If you don't follow God's word exactly, it's important. It's important that we do exactly what God says. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. That's what Balaam finally responds right here. I can't go beyond what my Lord has said. Sometimes people have come to me and said, Brother Billy, don't you think it's all right? We live in the year 2006, don't we? This is a new age. This is an enlightened age. Let me tell you something, brethren. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that inspired these words to be written, the same God who created the heaven and the earth, the same God who said it was wrong for Sodom and Gomorrah to allow homosexuality to go on there, that same God is on His throne today, and the same God will bring out the same kind of judgment on any nation that condones homosexuality. The same God that sent John the Baptist to Herod and told Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. That same God that told Herod that divorce and remarriage without scriptural grounds is an abomination in the sight of God, that same God is still on His throne today. The same God that declares that sexual relations before marriage is an abomination in the sight of God, that same God is still on His throne today, and God's rules have not changed. God will judge you and God will judge me for anything that I do beyond what God's Word says. Do all of you follow that? Is the devil ever telling you, well, I was going to give you something good, but the Lord held it back? Is he really telling the truth when he says the Lord held it back? I've got heads going both ways. I think he is telling the truth. See? I think the Lord says there's some things I'm just not going to let you have. There's some things I can't handle. There's some things you can't handle. There's some temptations that I'm liable to yield to. There are some things that though they are not inherently wrong, that in my life, if they become a part of my life, they can lead me down a path of destruction. And so I believe that God often does do exactly like Balak said, God does withhold some things from me. But I want you to remember this. What does Psalm 84:11 say? That God will not withhold any, there's two very important words there, any what? Any good thing to them who walk uprightly. Now, I have that promise from God. Anything that's for your good, anything you can handle, anything that is right and good, God will not withhold those things from me. He will pour out His blessings upon us. The things that would be for our good, He will give to us if we walk uprightly. Now, did Eve hear that temptation? Did she yield to that temptation? Now, here's Jesus. I want you to see the contrast in that first great temptation there and Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. I want you to see the temptation of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see the difference in the way, first I want you to see the similarity in the way that Balak said to Balaam and that the devil said to Eve. I want you to see that this is just a common way that the devil tempts his people. This is the most powerful way he has to tempt you. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, the Word of God says, and again the devil taketh him, that's Jesus. Now he's pulling out the big guns here, by the way. He's already used one temptation, and then he used another temptation, and that didn't work. So I think he's elevating things here. You know, the devil, if he can get me with something small, he'll get me with something small. If that doesn't work, he won't leave me alone. He'll come back and offer me something else. If that doesn't work, he'll come back and he'll offer me something else. That's what the devil did with Jesus right here. And this is the third major temptation. He says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and all the, what? All the glory of them. Was he offering him the same thing that Balak was offering Balaam to a smaller degree? Was he offering Jesus something? Same kind of thing. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Oh, wasn't that tempting? Was it tempting to Jesus? No, it wasn't tempting to Jesus. But would it be tempting to you if the devil offered you all the things in the world? Listen, the amazing thing, the devil doesn't even have to get that high with his offer for most of us. He just has to offer us a little bit. And boom, there we go. What did Balak say to Balaam? I thought to promote thee to great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept back honor from you. Verse 10 says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Do we sometimes want honor from men? Do we want honor from men? Do we want the honor of men? I think that we do. I think that's one of the biggest reasons that we go off on the wrong track so often, is we want honor from men. Did you know, I want you to notice what Jesus said. Turn to John chapter 5 just a minute. I want you to listen to what Jesus says and then just ask, are we really disciples of Jesus? Turn to John chapter 5 and listen to verse 41. How many honors did Jesus get from the world? How many honors did Jesus get from kings? How many honors did Jesus get from men? How many plaques and awards did Jesus have from men? How much did the world honor Jesus? Not a time. John 5, look at verse 41. Please look in your Bibles at John chapter 5, verse 41. The Word of God says, and this is what Jesus says, I receive not honor from men. Now, you can look at that in two different ways. When he said, I receive not honor from men, you can look at it as men won't give me honor. Is that a true statement? But you can also look at it in that Jesus is saying, I refuse to get honor from men. Because when we start receiving honor from men, and we start getting accolades from men, and we start getting riches and glory from men, and men start setting us up on a pedestal, telling you, you're on your way to destruction. Pride. Pride goeth before. What was it that motivated Balaam to keep going back and asking God, let me curse Israel? What was it? It was pride, wasn't it? Lust of the flesh, like Brother David. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That'll destroy us all. Come down to one other verse. Look at verse 44, John 5, verse 44. He says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You hear what he says in the last part of that? He says, you're so worried about receiving honor one of another. You're so worried about that, and you're not concerned about receiving the honor that comes from God only. Does God honor His people? It's an amazing thing. Thank you, sister. I don't think she's ever missed a question. I don't think she's ever gotten a question. You always get the right answer. Thank you for knowing God's Word. God does honor His people. God does honor His people. The only people He will honor, the only people that God will honor are His people who refuse to receive honor from the world and seek the honor from God. Did God withhold honor from Balaam over there? Did God withhold honor from Balaam? What kind of honor did God withhold from Balaam? The honor from men, the honor from the world. But if we will just obey God, God will honor us. I just want you to tell me in closing, I just want you to think, I want you to tell me any way that you know that God does honor His people. Can you think of any way that God honors His people? Tell me any way. Somebody tell me some way that you know that God honors His people. Okay? Isn't that a blessing to feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit? God sends His Spirit and comforts us. That's God honoring us, to come down and comfort us. How else does God honor His people? Okay, He honors us to allow us to enter the kingdom. When He says, come, inherit the kingdom, He says, well done, thou good. He's honoring us when He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. That's honoring us because we've honored Him and put honoring Him above honoring God. Teresa, what did you say? Children. Is it an honor to have children? Is that an honor from the Lord? What's another way that God honors us? Protective hedge. Does God keep a protective hedge round about His people that fear Him? Yes, He does. That's honoring, God honoring us. I want to just ask you in closing, had you rather have the honor of men or the honor of God? You can't have both. You have to choose this day. And you have to choose every day whether you want the honor of God or the honor of men. May God help us to seek the honor of God and not the honor of men is my prayer for Christ's sake.